Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I've entitled this morning's message, "What is the requirement for baptism and the Lord's table?" Now I'm going to read a passage of scripture from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, and we're going to come back to that at the end of the message. But we read in Hebrews 11, verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth." What is the requirement for baptism and the Lord's table? Now let me say this first. You can be right on baptism, baptism by immersion, baptism for believers only. You can be right with regard to your scriptural definition of baptism. You can be right about the Lord's table and understand what it means, and you can still split hell wide open. This is not about being right about baptism and the Lord's table. I'm asking, what is the requirement for baptism and the Lord's table? I'm not trying to just get somebody straightened out in their views. You can get straightened out in your views and do you no good. But what is the requirement for baptism and the Lord's table? Now, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are two ordinances that believers are called on to observe and to do: baptism and the Lord's table. Those are the two ordinances. Now, a lot of other denominations call them sacraments. And the Catholic Church actually has 7 sacraments. But in the New Testament, there are only 2 ordinances: baptism and the Lord's table. And I want you to notice carefully that I call them ordinances and not sacraments. Let me tell you why. To call them sacraments is to say that divine grace is imparted through these things. Through baptism, God's grace is imparted to you. And in taking the Lord's table, eating the bread and eating the wine, grace is imparted to you. Now, that's just not so. There's only one means of grace. By grace are you saved through faith. Not by grace are you saved through baptism. Not by grace are you saved through eating the Lord's table. By grace are you saved through faith. Faith is the one means of grace. And if I make baptism or the Lord's table means of grace, means through which grace is conveyed, I'm saying salvation is by works. If you get baptized, if you're baptized, grace will be given to you. Life comes through those waters. Or if you take the Lord's table, grace is imparted to you. No, that's teaching salvation by works. That's the reason we don't call baptism and the Lord's table sacraments. We call them ordinances. They do not convey grace. They're ceremonies. They represent something. They do not convey grace. Can you be saved without observing them? Can you be saved and go to heaven even if you're never baptized? Can you be saved and go to heaven even if you never partake of the Lord's table? Absolutely. The thief on the cross was never baptized. The thief on the cross never took the Lord's table. And yet the Lord gave him complete assurance of his salvation. He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And he never was baptized, and he never ate of the Lord's table. Now, he was saved. No question about that. So that lets you know that these are ceremonies. There is no saving power in them. But if you do not observe baptism, if you don't take the Lord's table, you better have as good an excuse as he did. He was nailed to a cross. He couldn't do these things. And I guarantee you this, if he could have, he would have. Baptism and the Lord's table, these two ordinances. Now, baptism is very important because of what it represents. It's a ceremony, no doubt, but what does it represent? It represents the way a sinner is saved. Baptism is by immersion. It's not sprinkling. It's by immersion because it pictures the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And here's my hope, that when he lived, I lived. When he kept the law, I kept the law. When he suffered and died for my sins, I suffered and died. I died with him. When he was raised from the dead, that's what happens in baptism. You're completely under the water, and then you come back up. That's Christ's resurrection. Here's my hope. When he was resurrected, I was resurrected. And the Lord says, "Whosoever believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved." Baptism is very important. You say, "It was just a ceremony." I know, but what does that ceremony represent? Somebody says, "Well, marriage is just a ceremony." Somebody says, "Well, two people cohabit together and they don't go through the marriage ceremony." And they say, "Well, what does it matter? We love one another. Why do we just need to go through a ceremony? We love one another and we can live together without being married." Now, for one thing, God forbids it. That's one reason why you shouldn't do it. You're to be married. And for another reason, if you really love one another, why won't you make the commitment of marriage? Where there's true love, there's a lifetime commitment for good. And when somebody refuses that commitment, they're calling into question their commitment to one another. Sure, marriage is a ceremony, but what all does it represent? Baptism is a ceremony, but what does it represent? And people who would refuse to be baptized, look what they're refusing. There's a commitment problem there. But to be baptized as a sacrament, as a means of grace, is debasing what the ordinance is and a denial of what it means. All I say in baptism is all my salvation is because of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I was in him. When he lived, I lived. When he died, I died. When he was raised, I was raised. As he's seated at the right hand of the Father, I'm there in him, already glorified, already in heaven. This is the great mystery of the gospel. Now, I think of that scripture in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, where the Lord said, "Whosoever believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved." Now, there are people who use that verse and say, "See, you need to be baptized to be saved." No, what our Lord is teaching is you need to believe to be baptized. That is the one requirement for Christian baptism, believing the gospel. Believing the gospel. Now, let me tell you one thing I know about infant baptism, baptizing infants. Those infants do not believe. That lets you know that infant baptism is wrong. It's just wrong. There's no example of it in Scripture. It's a completely man-made thing. You won't find it in the Bible. And when someone baptizes baptizes an infant, they're saying that this helps them in some way. They don't know what they're doing. They're unaware of it. But somehow this helps their salvation in some way, some mystical way that you can't really explain, but you believe somehow this infant is going to be better off by being baptized. Now, infant baptism makes a mockery of scriptural baptism. Baptism is the believer's public confession of faith. That's what it is more than anything else. It's the believer's public confession of faith. Mark 1:5 says they were baptized of him, confessing their sins. Now notice that word confessing. They were baptized of him, confessing their sins. Now, does that mean before they could be baptized, they had to publicly confess all the sinful things they'd done? No. No, not at all. You're not to confess to men what you've done. You confess your sin to God, but don't confess your sin to men. And to make some kind of public display of it is unclean in the first place. No, what they were doing, they were confessing how sinful, in being baptized, they were confessing how sinful they were. And the only hope they had was being united to Christ. When he lived, they lived. When he died, they died. When he was raised, they were raised. Now, people can become confused about this thing of baptism. I've seen people say, well, when I was baptized, I didn't believe the same that I do now. I believe the gospel then, now, but when I was first baptized, I didn't believe this way. Well, you weren't really baptized. You might have gone under the water and come back up, but you only are truly baptized when you believe the gospel. Whoso believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So what is the one requirement for baptism? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about the Lord's table? This is the second ordinance. Now, in our church, Todd's Road Grace Church, we observe the Lord's table first Sunday night of every month. We do it at night because Paul said, and Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, took bread. So they did it at night. I want to do it the way they do. They used unleavened bread and they drank wine. Somebody says, do you drink grape juice or wine? Wine. Wine, because that's what they did. And when you drink grape juice, you're making, it's watering down the gospel. I just can't see that. They were drinking wine. We drink wine. And we do this in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. This do, as oft as you do it, in remembrance of me. Now let me read the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul says, beginning in verse 23, for I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and it was unleavened bread because they were eating the Passover at that time. And when he'd given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, I realize that some people have taken this and made what's called the doctrine of transubstantiation, that the body and blood of Christ, when you eat the wafer and drink the wine, it turns into the literal body and blood of Christ. Now, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. That's not what happens. That means Christ is crucified over and over and over again, and he suffers over and over and over again every time you take the bread and drink the wine. Christ said, I am the door, but he wasn't a literal door. This is not teaching that the body of the bread becomes the literal body of Christ and the wine becomes the literal blood of Christ when you partake it. This is symbolic. This do in remembrance of me. You are remembering his broken body and his shed blood as your only salvation. And after the same manner also, he took the cup which he had supped and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now what's going on when the Lord's table is observed? We are remembering our salvation is him. His broken body His shed blood. It's Christ that died. Oh, we're remembering that again. Here's all my salvation. Here's all my hope. Here's my necessary food and my necessary drink. Christ crucified. This is what has given me life. This is what I live off of. This is my only plea. The blood, the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all my salvation. Here's what I'm remembering. Him saying, "It is finished." I remember that and I rejoice. I think it is amazing that people use the Lord's table, churches use the Lord's table in different ways. They'll have closed communion. You can't take the Lord's table unless you're a member of that church. And I like what one person said, "I didn't know it was your church's table. I thought it was the Lord's table." It's the Lord's table. And I've heard preachers want to use it as a means of discipline. If somebody's not living right or acting right, they're going to withhold the Lord's table from them. And I think, who are you to do something like that? The Bible doesn't tell you to do that. And to take, we're warned not to eat and drink unworthily and to discern His body. And if you don't, you're in trouble. But is one man going to make a judgment about another man and say, "Well, he's not worthy to eat the Lord's table"? And then you can figure out when you are worthy. I tell you, when you're in trouble is when you think you are worthy. When I take the Lord's table, I'm saying I am unworthy, and the only hope I have is found in the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we do this in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our purpose. Now, what is the requirement for taking the Lord's table? The same requirement for being baptized: faith in Christ. That's it. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Faith in Christ is the requirement for partaking of the Lord's table. Now, if I don't have faith, if I don't discern His body and I take it, I do so to my own condemnation. It's such a, I'm once again trampling on what the symbol means. I mean, if you trample on the flag of the United States, you say, "Well, it's just a piece of cloth." Yeah, but what does it represent? What does baptism represent? What does the Lord's table represent? And what is the one requirement for these things? The baptism and observing the Lord's table. There's only one answer: faith in Christ. So it's very important that I understand what faith in Christ is. And the verse of Scripture that I read at the first of this message gives us a beautiful and simple definition of what faith in Christ is. So I'm going to read this again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." These all died in faith, speaking of Abel, Noah, Abraham, Enoch, every other believer. These all died. You're going to die too, but these all died in faith. That means they persevered in faith. They continued in the faith, grounded and settled. They didn't quit believing. They persevered all the way to the end. "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." And that perseverance was persevering in faith. They died looking to Christ only as everything in their salvation. And they never graduated past faith. They never went on to something else. These all died in faith. Now look what it says next, though: "not having received the promises." Now, salvation is by the promise of God. It's all by the promise of God. Now, let me give you an illustration of just how much salvation is by the promise of God. Now, God has promised to His Son a people. Christ took responsibility for those people. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And God has promised that everybody that Christ died for will be saved. God has promised that all who look to Christ only will be saved. He's promised. Salvation is utterly in the promise of God. Now, here's how much. The forgiveness of sins is in the beginning of salvation. It's not the end of a process. If you repent, and if you turn from your sins, and if you start living a better life, you'll have the forgiveness of sins. If you believe, you'll have the forgiveness. If you making forgiveness the end of a process, if you do this, you'll have forgiveness. No, forgiveness was accomplished before you was ever born. If you're forgiven, you might not have experienced it yet, but if you're forgiven, you've already been forgiven. You know, there's people I'm speaking to right now that don't know anything about the forgiveness of sins, but you're going to find out. You see, everybody who has been forgiven finds out they've been forgiven, all because of the promise of God in Christ Jesus. Salvation is by the promise of God, and that's so important for me to understand that. Now, justification. Remember, it says, these all died in the faith, not having received the promises. Justification. Now, what does that mean? If I'm justified, that means I'm without sin before God. It means I've never broken any of the Ten Commandments, but I've kept them perfectly. It means I stand before God having never sinned. That's what justification means. I stand before God having never sinned. Perfect in God's sight. Now, I've not really experienced that. I feel sinful. I sin. I've never experienced that. But I believe it. I stand before God without guilt. I haven't experienced having no sin, but I believe through the gospel that I literally have no sin. Now, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, not having experienced the promises, but having seen them afar off. Now, here is the gospel. Seeing the promises afar off. Hearing the gospel. Now, I hear that everybody that Christ died for is justified. I hear that Christ died for sinners. Well, I'm a sinner. I'm one of those. He died for me. I'm justified. I see that afar off in the preaching of the gospel. And I believe. I believe. I might not have experienced sinlessness in my personal subjective experience, but I know I am sinless. I've heard the gospel, and I've seen it afar off. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. Now, faith is seeing. And I think it's very important to remember that the seeing of faith comes through the ear. It's hearing the gospel. Seeing afar off. Not necessarily, I've not experienced sinlessness, but I know I'm sinless in Christ Jesus. I hear that in the gospel, and I've been persuaded. I've been persuaded. Now, when God persuades you, you're persuaded. That's how it works. When God persuades you, you are indeed persuaded. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. That not only do you see this afar off, you believe it because you've been persuaded. You've been persuaded by God if you've been persuaded. If you really believe the Bible is God's inerrant word, not just because you've been indoctrinated in it, but you believe it, it's because God's persuaded you it's so. And you're persuaded that God is as the Bible describes him to be. You believe all of his glorious attributes. And you believe man is as the Bible describes him to be, dead in sins, unable to save himself. You believe salvation. You've been persuaded that salvation is as the Bible declares it. Election by the Father, redemption by the Son, regeneration by the Holy Spirit. You look to Christ only. That's what faith is. You're persuaded. But not only were they persuaded, it says they embraced them. They welcomed these promises of salvation by Christ. They embraced them as good news. It's good news that Christ accomplished salvation, and it doesn't have anything to do with my works. It's good news that Christ is all in salvation. It's good news that I'm complete in him. It's good news salvation comes by God's promise. I embrace that. If somebody hears the gospel, becomes old and dry to them, they think, oh, that old dry doctrine, dead doctrine, and so on. Well, it's because they're not hearing as a sinner. If you really believe yourself to be a sinner, you're going to hear the gospel as good news, and you're going to embrace the gospel. That's what faith is. It's seeing afar off. It's not necessarily experiencing sin, but it's seeing afar off the salvation that it's in Christ in the hearing of the gospel. You hear, you're persuaded. You really believe that message. And the reason you believe is because God's persuaded you. Not only do you believe, you embrace this as good news, the best news you've ever heard. And it's not a one-time thing. You're always hearing the same way when God gives you ears to hear. And they confessed. What you believe, you will confess. Let me repeat that. What you believe, you will publicly confess. You will identify with this message. You're going to publicly identify with this message, and that's done through baptism. But here is the original statement. What is required for me to be baptized? What is required for me to take the Lord's table? To look to Christ only. If you do, you're called on to be baptized, and you're called upon to observe the Lord's table. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niver praying God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen. For Lord, that could not
be. To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.